Bibles this evening. Look with me to Mark, the fourth chapter. Mark, the fourth chapter. Thank you again for taking part in our services. Appreciate you being with us. I know there's some who can't be with us, can't make it back. We're certainly concerned about them. But we certainly are glad you're with us, and I hope that you're blessed by our study this evening. Appreciate the song service. Appreciate the words of the prayers that we have lifted our thoughts to God for. Thank you very much for being with us. Begin reading with me in Mark, the fourth chapter, in verse 35. Mark 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Appreciate Mike leading the songs, especially this one, the one we just sang. Wonderful thoughts. Really focuses our attention upon really the amazing actions that are taking place here and what's actually intended for us to consider. And I think, man, there's so many different points that could be made. I just want to make a few of them if I could. And so I want to talk about for just a little while, Jesus calms the storm. There are a lot of storms in life. And it's interesting when you look at the different definitions of the word storm. We all know about, I guess, a weather storm. It is defined as an atmospheric disturbance manifested in strong winds, rain, snow, precipitation such as thunder and lightning. We knew that one, didn't we? Again, we all know that definition. There's another definition of storms. It says violent disturbances, upheavals, as in political, social, and domestic affairs. A storm of protest. There are many storms in our life that we face, and there's three points that came to my mind, and I think they are helpful, although I have read many other thoughts that are just wonderful in this very short incident in the life of Jesus, how it makes us stop and think and really rivets our attention upon who he was and how so many times we sort of give up on what he's trying to accomplish for us and what he's wanting to do for us if we would but obey him, listen to him. Jesus had proved his authority in this world and in the spiritual world on several occasions. If you're reading along with me, for example, in John, the 10th chapter, Jesus over there almost gives up on the idea of claiming to be the Messiah, the Christ. He's wanting them just to look at what he has physically done in this world. And it could be a good study in itself. John, the 10th chapter, verse 37, he says, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me." You never thought you'd read in the Bible where Jesus says, "Do not believe me," would you? He says, "If I do not do the works of my Father, God Almighty, the Father in heaven, do not believe me." Verse 38, "But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." He's warning them to be honest with themselves and what they have seen him do. Be honest with the truth that they have seen him calm storms, raise people from the dead, command demons of the underworld, heal every kind of sickness and disease. And he said, "I want you to just be honest with yourself. What you saw, what you heard, I want you to understand who I am and what power I have demonstrated in my life." But Jesus had done that over and over. And yet back here in our text, the fourth chapter of Mark, considered to be the second year of his of his work here on earth, he has to reprimand his own disciples. He has a reproach for them because they doubt him, have lack of faith. I mean, that's just what he says. Why are you so fearful? I can understand somebody being fearful. I mean, that's simple. That comes easy for us. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you become so fearful you lose anything in the way of faith? Well, it can happen, can't it? It can happen to the best of people, the strongest of people. It can happen to the best intentioned people. And that's why we have this, and we need to be on guard about it. This account, as we were just saying, was very popular, especially in a lot of the children's Bible class literature, and then also in several songs, just like we have sang. Many sermons, many lessons here. I just want to suggest some to you this evening. Number one, storms are a part of life, and that's difficult in itself. There are so many things that we face in this life that can be described as a storm. Maybe in our individual life, something that somebody else wouldn't know that we're going through. But many times people face these storms with fear, trepidation, almost with the idea of saying, this is just not fair. Why did this happen to me? Why me? And I don't understand. And a lot of that I can appreciate. Saying you don't understand something is okay. I understand that. Or why did this happen to me? I can understand that question. But many times we need to look on the other side and think, why not me? Do I honestly think I'm going to go through this world and not face tragedies and difficulties and trials in my life? Well, in our saner moments, we'd understand, no, that's just not going to happen. Especially the older you get, the more you realize we're going to face days that try our souls. Not just, you know, stumping your toe on a piece of furniture or something, which is a terrible thing to do. But I mean things that cause us to doubt about our very thoughts in life and why we're here. People suffer storms, and they suffer tragedies in many ways also. And just to understand that we have friends and neighbors, and not necessarily people who are members of the church, but we have very dear loved ones and friends who suffer many tragedies. And we need to be people to, maybe we're in a certain place at a certain time, to be able to help someone. Listen to them, which is the first thing to do. Listen to them. There's no secret formulas. When you stand at the bedside of someone who has suffered a tragedy, express your sorrow. Say, I'm sorry. I wish I could do something. And be careful about giving advice. Don't do that unless they ask for it. But be mindful of what they are suffering. Many times people will not manifest problems in the way that you or I would. Some people can be very stoic. Others can cry. And we need to recognize that difference. And we need to put ourselves in a position to help. And if you're not sure, don't say anything then. And I heard a guy go into the hospital room talking to the guy that was in the hospital bed, and he was really sick. And the guy came in and he said, well, I know you must have been in the hospital or dead. He said, I saw your fence tore down and all your cows are all down the road. And we know you must have just had all kinds of trouble. And I thought, oh, man, don't do that. Be mindful that somebody is suffering. And the logic sometimes is not the thing they want to hear. Sometimes people who are suffering tragedies and the loss of a loved one is not the easiest thing in the world. We had someone who was in another congregation years ago, and one of the couple's young son, when he was in college, he committed suicide. And I was talking with them both, and they said, at the funeral, I want you to preach a sermon on suicide. And I was saying, Ricky, that may not be the best thing to do. We just need to do a funeral. We need to bury your son. And he was just adamant about it. And so I did. And that's not the easiest thing to do. But just a lot of times, some of the things they want is not what we would think would be logical. over, I think sometimes over in Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus was, the way people think about tragedies is difficult many times. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And you can imagine what's going on here. They're just almost like saying, Jesus, did you hear about what Pilate did? Such a tragedy. And yet Jesus answers in verse 2, Luke 13, verse 2. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Sons of men face a lot of harsh difficulties, terrible things, things that we can't comprehend or understand. And so many times it just takes for us to come together, support people in the most difficult trials of their life, and maybe in times to come, they can look back and see what a help and assistance we were in helping them. And so the most difficult times can be those which many years later they look back on it with a blessing. Let me suggest to you, secondly, disciples are not exempt from storms. And it's almost, as you read the New Testament, or even the whole Bible, really, it's almost like if you're a disciple, you're going to suffer storms in your life. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have difficulties. And when, as we read this story of Jesus here in Mark, the 4th chapter, it's almost like when we think that things are out of our control, completely. Let's stop and recognize that it's never out of God's control. Nothing is out of God's control. I mean, that's the very area He works in the best, is when we recognize we are totally in a situation we can't control any of this, no matter how humanly impossible this situation may be, that we can't even begin to think in something that would be some way that we could solve the problem. You imagine, again, even though this is just a few weeks before Jesus' crucifixion, but in John the 11th chapter, when He goes to see Mary and Martha, Jesus stands there and tells them, I am the resurrection and the life. And He had already done this once. But just imagine, they're looking at a Galilean carpenter. And He's saying, I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We can't even begin to understand that. But that's exactly what He is claiming. And yet, He's wanting us to understand that there are many things we can't control. Being Jesus' disciples does not protect us from storms. And this is a good example. We live in a world where there are many storms, both literal and figurative. I like the point of Greg Laurie was writing in a book. He made a comment. I thought it was such a great point. He said, Jesus didn't promise smooth sailing. What He promised was a safe passage. And He used this example as the point. Jesus didn't say, hey guys, let's go out into the center of the Sea of Galilee and drown. That's not what He said, was it? Read verse 35 again. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us do what? Cross over to the other side. And then skip on down to the next chapter, first verse. Fifth chapter, first verse. Then they came to the other side. That's what Jesus said. Let's go over to the other side. He didn't say anything about a tremendous storm out in the middle of the sea. But Jesus was saying, let's go over there and accomplish what I deem to accomplish. And that had to be what these disciples in the New Testament times, these apostles, that had to be the attitude of what they had in mind and how it allowed them to continue to accomplished tremendous things. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, you just read, I don't know how Paul can go through this. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 24, Paul says, from the Jews five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides all other things, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Wow. Jesus didn't promise an exemption from the normal storms of life. And when we think of that. That sounds bad. That sounds like everybody's getting the same call, doesn't it? But when we face storms, we face storms because we are Christians. And those are storms that the people of the world, I don't think, can comprehend. We aren't necessarily out of God's control when we get into a storm. We might be there because that's where God wants us. He wants to teach us something. Look with me back in John, the 16th chapter. Remember Jesus promising right at the last of the chapter, John 16, down at verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're not necessarily out of the control of God. Just because we wind up in desperate situations, we might be right where God needs us. And as we pointed out several times in our study, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 12, Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." It's going to happen. If we find ourselves in the storms of life, let's look unto Jesus. If we find ourselves in the storms of life because of our faith, let's trust in Jesus and depend on Him. Let's not think it strange. I would understand maybe young people would think of this idea, maybe I'm going to do this in life, I'm going to accomplish this, and it's going to be clear sailing all the way. Well, they'll learn quick. But as we go through life, we didn't realize there's going to be this many. And we were going to face difficult, trying days. Do not think it strange. Our Lord Himself came into this world with the express purpose of going to the cross. And you and I cannot imagine that. I don't mean He's just talking about His physical death. I think He was talking about carrying the sins of the world to the cross. Then to be separated from His Father. That's something you and I can't comprehend. But let me just continue with, as we look at this, Jesus helps us in our storms. He helps us through our faith. Coming back to our text here, Jesus in verse 40, but He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And He's putting it on, how is it you have no faith? And He comes to the point, and I'm not necessarily saying every time we're afraid of something, it's indicative of a lack of faith in Jesus. I'm not necessarily saying that. I don't like penicillin shots and stuff like that, and bugs and spiders and things. Those are just some natural things that we can be afraid of. But there is certainly a point to be made that if in our life we come to the point where we are filled with fear, to the point where we're completely inactive, yeah, then I would begin to think, where's your faith? Where is your faith in Jesus who walked the Calvary road? A fear that totally consumes us is indicative of a faith. And this is what they're saying here.
when he says, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
And again, why is it they couldn't put things together? They had been watching him heal people, command demons, and raise people, and completely defy anything that would come against him. And then on this occasion, they go to Jesus and say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Faith in God will protect us. That's what the whole Bible talks about. I mean, we mentioned, look with me back in Psalms 46. Mentioned that this morning. We talked about Psalms 46 and verse 1, that it's a very famous verse. We all know God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You've heard that one many times. Verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That's what he's trying to say. That's why when you look in the very next verse, he continues, verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Verse 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That certainly should be the way we would look at it. And that's just Old Testament of all the passages that we can manage. And that's just the idea of through faith, we can be people who can face the storms. It may not be something we enjoy at all, but through our faith, we can continue. Look with me at another very famous passage, probably you could quote it, Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24, he's talking about the storms of life. Matthew 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell and great was its fall." How many times have we read that passage? Studied it in class. And sometimes we forget in the very difficulties of life. Jesus said, if you'll build your life on the foundation of the rock of who I am and what I am, I'll handle it. Or through prayer. Look with me, Philippians, the 4th chapter. And we could multiply these passages many times. Philippians, the 4th chapter, another well-known passage. Verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Through faith, through his word, through prayer, through sacrifice also. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Greatest storm you and I will ever face won't be a nuclear war, and it won't be the day of our death. The greatest storm we're going to face is the day we stand before him and be judged. The day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." Yeah, that's going to be a storm.
Jesus descends in Matthew, the 25th chapter, with all of his angels, and he sits, and all the nations will be brought before him. That is going to be a storm. And yet we depend here on our Lord. Like in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 7 and 8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were getting better, not while we were on the mend, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He gives us that, offers us that. Let us depend on that. Let's stand on that. Everyone will face storms in life, and everyone's going to face this storm come the end of time. How shall we react to this storm? Are we going to answer, Lord, we're perishing? Let us not do that. Let us be people who stand confidently before him and hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yeah, we can go through the storm because we can go through the storm with him who couldn't be taken by the storm. He was the very one who overcame it. The winds and the seas obey him. Shall we not obey him who has all authority? If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. When we see that Jesus sends his disciples out into the world, he says, go into all the nations, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It's that simple, but it's that serious. And if you're a child of God and you're striving to live by faith and you keep the Lord before your eyes and his word before you as you study and grow closer to him, let us be those who walk in the light as he is in the light. And let us face the storms of life in faith and let him handle them. And we'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're subject this evening, would you please come as we stand and sing?